You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest in sports news, fantasy analysis, and opinions. Don't forget the hot takes. Can't have a sports show without hot takes these days. What about hot cakes, though? I want some hot cakes. Now here's your host, ready to jump into the thick of things, Dwayne Callender.
Hello, welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. We have a Black Friday show for you. Mainly because we're going to be talking a lot about coaches who are about to get fired, have been fired, or will be fired in the not-too-distant future. All right, so it's probably for the best that I didn't bring up the Thanksgiving slate of football games on the show. I didn't get a chance to do an episode before that, but man, oh man, did that backfire on me. Jason Garrett, by all accounts, should be fired sometime in the next 48 hours after the Cowboys just utterly collapsed against the Buffalo Bills, yet Jerry Jones seemed to be conciliatory in terms of walking back his statements that Jason Garrett would remain the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It is truly confusing because, you know, he outright says that, his coach got out coached by Bill Belichick, but everyone knows that Jason Garrett was going to get out coached by Bill Belichick. So, you know, again, it is very confusing what Jerry Jones's end game is because, you know, I would be shocked beyond shocked that the Cowboys don't fire Jason Garrett at this stage because of the fact that the only way I could see the Cowboys not having to fire Jason Garrett as if the Cowboys somehow make it to the Super Bowl, which, again, from a talent perspective, they have the capability of doing so. And, yes, they should be able to win the NFC East because it is the worst division in football this year when you have both the Giants and the Redskins actively tanking to get a top five pick. And, you know, at the rate the Giants are going at, they're going to find a way of botching that too by winning extra games at the end of the year. But, you know, be that as it may. Actually, I shouldn't even say that the Giants are tanking. The Giants are just incompetent. Washington is actively trying to tank. Miami tried to tank, and then Brian Flores has started coaching that team up. So now they're winning games that they're not supposed to be winning. The Bengals actively tanked and have been bad the entire year. But, you know, outside of getting the Jets for their one win of the year, it is what it is. So let me walk this back as to who's been fired, who's going to be fired, who will be fired. You had Jerry Jones, prior to the Thanksgiving game against the Bills yesterday, make the statement that it's time for the coaching staff to step up. They've been outclassed. In his opinion, they were outclassed by the Patriots. Shocker. Shocker that Bill Belichick would run circles around Jason Garrett as an NFL head coach. And that there needs to be more accountability amongst the coaching staff. So basically, he just threw his entire coaching staff under the bus. So for anyone saying that there's a chance for Chris Richard to be the next head coach of the Cowboys, I got news for you. It ain't happening. Even though Chris Richard would clearly be a better choice than Jason Garrett at this stage, I think he's taking too many hits because of the defense where everyone got paid, yet no one felt the need to put in the work after getting paid because the Cowboys' defense looks absolutely lethargic. Josh Allen, you know, my dad and I disagree with this quite a bit. Josh Allen, to me, is a slightly better version of Tyrod Taylor, whom the Bills moved on from to draft Josh Allen. So I don't really quite understand the Bills' thought process here, because Josh Allen has an inability of making any sort of touch pass. He can throw a ball down the field. He has a much stronger arm than Tyrod Taylor. But if you're asking me that to take the Bills seriously as a contender to the Patriots in the AFC East, I mean in the AFC East, I got to have a quarterback that can make a touch pass. Because New England will force you to make a delicate pass, and you're only going to need to be able to make three plays in order to beat the Pats, most likely on the road in Foxborough. You're going to have to be able to make three plays. Most of the time, they're going to force you to make it as a pass play. Every once in a while, there's going to be a quarterback that can make a running play that can get the first down anyway to extend the drive. Against any game against the Pats, you've got to be able to make some type of play. Whether it's Eli Manning in the helmet catch, or the throw to Manningham, or the Philly special that Nick Foles was able to complete in the Super Bowl, you've got to be able to make certain kind of plays in order to beat the Patriots in a crucial game. That's just the bottom line, because that's how the Patriots are going to play you. They're going to play you tight. So be that as it may, with all the limitations that I see in Josh Allen as a quarterback, the Bills completely dominated the Cowboys after the Cowboys were able to execute everything perfectly on their opening drive, march right down the field in the opening 4 minutes of the game, put up a touchdown on the board, and make it look absolutely easy. The rest of the game, the Bills utterly dominated them and ran off four straight scores, while the Cowboys' offense completely sputtered and did diddly squat the remainder of the game. That's the game. Literally a lifeless production by the Cowboys in a must-win game after their owner called out the entire coaching staff. Jason Garrett should be fired today or tomorrow, but the reason why Jerry Jones backed off is he looked at it as a challenge for someone who he regards almost as close as his son. Jason Garrett should have been fired on at least six different occasions during his tenure as Cowboys head coach, which is, even though his contract's up, he's been the Cowboys head coach for 9 seasons. He's underachieved in 6 of them, not including this year. We don't know how this year's going to pan out yet, but it is few and far in between the number of years where Jason Garrett actually performed at a above average or excellent level as a head coach. And he's never actually approached excellent either. I'm just being facetious. I'm just saying that the Cowboys, for all the talent that they've had, and even though they made the playoffs, still usually underachieve in certain games because they drop at least 2 to 3 games every year that they have no business dropping. And it comes down to a coaching issue or a lack of preparedness. So what goes into a coach actually getting fired? One, relationship with the owner. Most sports owners are billionaires. Paying a head coach usually is a line item for them. However, the reason why so many owners are reticent to actually fire head coaches is because it looks as though they don't know what the bleep they're doing. That's it. They don't look like they're clueless at the wheel. There are some exceptions because you'll have coaches just fire teams. Over in the Premier League, you got Watford, who usually changes out a coach every every other year or multiple times during a season, Watford, who is currently the last place team in the Premier League, brought back one of their fire coaches, only to fire Kike Sanchez Flores less than a month after hiring him back again, mainly because there's no chance that he was going to be able to turn around the team. Now they're bringing back Nigel Pearson, who resurrected Leicester a couple of seasons ago, hoping that he can bring any kind of spark. But that's the thing. It's random as to how certain coaches get fired, because it all depends on the relationships within the front office, sometimes more than the results. I can look to the NHL, where the Toronto Maple Leafs have fired Bob Babcock, despite the fact that they were currently in the playoffs. They still fired Bob Babcock anyway, even though Bob Babcock is one of, if not the most accomplished from a winning perspective, NHL head coach currently in the league right now. Outside of Joel Quenneville, it's hard to say NHL coach more accomplished than Babcock. He made the year every year he was in Detroit, won a Stanley Cup. Detroit has fallen completely off the hockey map since Babcock left. He's made the playoffs every year with Toronto, where they were going to make the playoffs again this year, but because Bob Babcock didn't get along with his players, apparently, in the Toronto dressing room, and his GM is one of the youngest GMs in the league, and strictly analytics-focused, which, by all reports, Babcock was still not completely on board with, Babcock lost the power struggle and got the boot. Meanwhile, over in New Jersey, you've got John Hines, who literally has run the Devils right back into the listless ship they were before the 90s in the neutral zone trap, and the Devils have been utterly irrelevant for the last 5 years. Hines is still the head coach in this fourth season as the Devils head coach, showing absolutely no signs of improvement, despite having even more talent than the Rangers, by and large. And yes, the goaltending hasn't been great, but guess what? There were trades to be had and goaltenders on the market that the Devils could have brought in that they chose not to. John Hines still has a job, where hockey is notorious for firing coaches very early into the season. Why has he stayed in place? Because the Devils know that if they fire John Hines, Ray Shiro's on the clock, because he's going to have to turn things around relatively quickly. Otherwise, he's the next one out the door. When coaches get fired, again, most of it depends on circumstances and the fact that the GM also wants to keep the coach around as a scapegoat. Take, for instance, my New York Football Giants. Pat Shurmur had a ton of question marks when he was named Giants head coach a year and a half ago. Right now, the Giants still look like a bottom five team with no signs of improvement from their actual young core. As much as people want to talk about Daniel Jones, and again, this is more along the lines of, he's not as awful as people think he is. Look at him. He threw for 5 touchdown passes against a terrible team. Wow. You know, people want to look at stats as hollow as they are without actually looking at the context of how is he actually performing when he's asked with doing basic things. Not awful. Not exactly Peyton Manning either. And you spent the number 6 overall pick on him when you had multiple needs on the football field. Now, I see how this is most likely going to play out. Pat Shurmur's going to be sacrificed by Dave Gettleman, and Gettleman's going to say that, hey, I'm the one who found Daniel Jones, when it seems to be, by most accounts, Pat Shurmur's the one who pushed Dave Gettleman onto him, and then Dave Gettleman fell in love with Daniel Jones. But be that as it may, Dave Gettleman fell in love with Daniel Jones just looking at him at the Senior Bowl, apparently. Whatever. You know, again, so turning my attention to the some of the coaches who I think will be fired in short order. Arsenal manager Unai Emery in the Premier League has a Europa match against Eintracht Frankfurt later today at the Emirates that I think, regardless of whether or not Arsenal wins the match, I still think he's going to get fired anyway. Because the players in the dressing room have all but quit on him. The fan base has been calling for his firing for 2.5 months now. The Arsenal board is getting nervous because, in terms of the standings in the Premier League, Arsenal is falling further and further away from the top four position that they're competing for. And it now looks to be in a position where we're closer to the bottom half of the table and the relegation battle than we are to the top four. There's no way he can survive much longer, and they're just hoping he can try to pull the team out of it. If they drop the game today, he's probably gone by tomorrow. Other guys I think are going to get fired in the Premier League: Marco Silva at Everton. Results haven't been there. Manuel Pellegrini over at West Ham. Results haven't been there. When it comes to the Premier League, firing coaches has become more of a business practice because the amount of money in the television contract puts it above their self-interest to react quickly rather than try to let things drag out. One of the things that's happened in American sports is the fact that with some of the stagnation in the television deals, it's harder for teams to get behind firing coaches quickly because it normally, again, it's a line item for most owners, but it's more of the perception standpoint that they don't know what they're doing. Take, for instance, the New York Knicks and David Fizdale. You had Knicks management come out and openly question the performance. Knicks president Steve Mills openly came out and questioned the performance of the Knicks team in an impromptu press conference, thereby completely undercutting David Fizdale, the Knicks head coach. And everyone began wondering, when is Fizdale going to get fired? In the weeks since that impromptu press conference, the Knicks have gone, I believe the official record is 2-9. I got to double check. But the Knicks have been even more dreadful. Fizdale looks even less interested in coaching the team and actively looks like he's trying to get fired. Yet, still has not been fired as of yet. But the only thing that I can see happening why it hasn't officially taken place yet is that the Knicks have no idea who the interim coach is going to be. That's the only reason why Dave Fizdale has been fired yet, because the Knicks, by all accounts, can't get anyone else willing to coach that team from the outside. They're probably going to have to promote one of the assistants in the interim until they can get turn a page over with maybe doing a retread, bringing back Jeff Van Gundy, or giving Mark Jackson a chance to run the team. But that's the thing. With hiring and firing coaches in this day and age, it's not even about the contracts anymore. It's about the media perception. Because half the time, you know, if you go back to a team like the Mets, where Mickey Callaway got fired, but it came at the end of the season when the Mets actually made a run towards the NL wild card spot inexplicably. Then you fire him. What? Like, literally, Mickey Callaway, I'm not going to say he was a good manager, but he was trending up. The whole reason why he got fired was because the GM, Bernie Van Wagenen, wanted to make an example out of Mickey Callaway, saying he's the reason why they didn't make the playoffs, not him, when it was clearly obvious that Brody's guys that he brought in free agency all flopped, spectacularly flopped. So, again, there were circumstances beyond just wins and losses that are factoring into the decision. A lot of times it ends up being a case of, how can I use this guy as a meat shield for the general public that's lobbying accusations against the franchise? That's what the coach and managerial positions have become in the modern age, is essentially the shield. Yes, they're tasked with winning and losing, but a lot of times when things aren't going well, they are ultimately the punching bag for the general public. But we're going to move on from talking about the people I expect to get fired in the near future. I want to talk about, because I did this last year in greater detail, but I want to talk about holiday shopping and some of the deals that you guys might be interested in. Now, I figured, you know, again, talking about electronics and things to look out for in terms of TVs, it's always good to bear in mind, what are you actually looking for? If you're looking for, you know, a TV for the bedroom, or put like have an extra TV in a kid's room, yeah, obviously your budget's not going to be that large. So the Amazon Fire TVs, well, the built-in Amazon, actual Amazon televisions that Amazon is selling, they're doing discount sales on Amazon and at Best Buy, so you can even get the 42-inch set for under $300. The 65-inch TVs are going to be $400. Those are perfectly fine for a bedroom set that you're not really caring about showing off in the living room, or have a small TV in the kids' room because they'll have like the 32-inch set for $100. Those are perfectly fine and acceptable choices, and they've got the Amazon Prime service built into the smart TV as long as you're an Amazon Prime customer, which, again, if you're buying one of those TVs, the expectation is you already were a customer. Otherwise, you're shelling out an extra $120 for Amazon Prime membership to boot. Again, Amazon's making the expectation that you're already a Prime customer. That's the reason why they want to sell you more stuff through their television sets. But anyway, getting into some of the electronics on sale. For those of you who want to be the big shot time callers and prepping in advance of the Super Bowl, you know, I wouldn't recommend OLED TVs, mainly because the OLED TVs, from a sports perspective, they are at high risk of having screen burn-in for prolonged exposures to still images. Similar, because plasma sets found ways of getting around this. OLED TVs, still not quite there yet. There's still a possibility of you running into screen burn-in. So I wouldn't necessarily suggest that if you're using that as a main set for watching in the living room and you're watching a ton of sports, mainly because of the burn-in factor. Because, again, when you're watching ESPN, you're going to see the ESPN bottom line the entirety of your viewing time, by and large, because the ESPN bottom line is going to be there for 98% of the time. If you're watching Fox, they're showing the bottom line during football season, throughout the games. So again, you're seeing those bottom line tickers, and yeah, it's gonna burn in the screen. It's like if you're watching something for 90% of the time and it's there as a static image, yeah, that's a problem. So I wouldn't recommend the OLED TVs for that specific purpose if you're a sports fan like me. What I would suggest, if you're going into the large screen TV, and I'm talking 65 inches and above, I would say for an entry-level set, the TCL 6 series, so this would be the 625 model in most places. It'll differ, but you'll see a TCL 6 primarily. They have a TCL 5 series and a TCL 4 series, but the TCL 6 series is technically their top of the line from a budget perspective. The 65-inch 6 series set from TCL is going to be $600 at Costco, starting with Black Friday, and it's going to extend for a month. That is a good entry-level set. Moving on, there's the 65-inch Vizio PX series, also at Costco. What's the difference between the TCL and the Vizio? Basically, the brightness level and the number of dimming levels for the HDR features. If your eyes are glazing over based off of what I just said, chances are you probably won't even notice a difference between the two television sets. To be perfectly honest, I would probably say you could stick with the TCL for $600 as opposed to paying up for $1,000. Now, if you're caring more about name brand, then I would say you can go to the Sony X900 series over at Best Buy, because they're going to have the X900F available for $1,100 plus tax, obviously. And that would give you a name brand. Now, in terms of visual quality, it's not that much of an uptick over the TCL or the Vizio, but you get the name brand recognition. Now, in terms of the set that's going to have the most quality, that's not an OLED set, you would be essentially looking at the Samsung QN65 series. So, the technical term is, actually, I should say that it shouldn't be the Q65, it would be the Q80. Again, the model numbers are so bad in terms of, like, the lack of creativity amongst the manufacturers. It's really embarrassing. But, in terms of the sets, you know, you've got quite a bit going on here. But I would say the Q80 makes the most sense, and that's going to cost you, set you back about $1,700 from a couple of places, because it's going to be at Best Buy primarily, but there's also a variant that's going to be available at BJ's as well. Now, if you're going into the "I want the biggest screen humanly possible," I should say humanly possible, because they do have 100-inch sets available if somehow you have the room. But in terms of most, like the most I can see the average person being able to manage, the 82-inch Samsung RU800 model is actually going to be available at BJ's for just under $1,800 this year. Again, that's 82 inches of real estate, so I would say mounting the TV is a must if you're actually planning on buying a set that large. And yeah, you're going to need some help setting that one up, so I wouldn't ask Fred, your neighbor, to help set it up for you. I'd probably hire a professional to install the brackets properly, because at that size, the amount of weight that you're going to need for a proper mount installation, I'd let a professional handle it at that size. Because if you're splashing that much cash to get a TV, just have a pro set it up for you instead and not do it yourself. We've seen way too many YouTube videos of people screwing that up with large TVs of that size. So those are my recommendations. I'm not going into too much detail this year because this year was kind of a lax year in terms of overall price development. The OLED prices haven't come down as much that I would give a recommendation to the OLED sets. Plus, as I said, they haven't quite mastered the screen burn-in effect just yet for sports fans such as myself, so I can't touch an OLED set, even if I was interested in it. It's too much of a risk at this point. So that's all I've got for you this year. We'll see where the prices come down next year if we start getting more OLED sets under the 1500 price point at the 65 inch range. Then things might get a little bit more interesting from my perspective. But that's all for now. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with your families, and take it easy, folks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.